This is the Citizens Council Forum, the American viewpoint with a Southern accent, presented by the Citizens Councils of America on behalf of affiliated state organizations throughout the South. The Citizens' Councils are dedicated to states' rights and racial integrity, to individual liberty, and to race relations based on common sense, not on the power politics of left-wing pressure groups. The Citizens' Councils are primarily a means of mobilizing public opinion. Informed people will not surrender their freedom. Now, your host for Citizens' Council Forum.
Hello again, everyone. This is Dick Morphew welcoming you to another in our series of special programs coming to you from Washington. Our guests on this program are two Southern Democratic members of Congress, Congressman Sidney Herlong, Jr. of Leesburg, Florida, and Congressman John Bell Williams of Raymond, Mississippi. Gentlemen, we're very happy to have both of you with us today, and I'd like to start off the questioning with Congressman Williams, if I may. Congressman Williams, what do you feel is the most pressing domestic issue now facing the American people?
Dick, we have many problems, of course. We have economic, financial problems. But in my opinion, the most serious issue domestically facing the American people today is that of maintaining the structure of the American government as it has handed down to us from our forebears.
Now, what do you mean by that structure?
That includes, of course, our representative form of government, and second, and equally important, because I think it has to do directly with the preservation of representative form of government, is the maintenance of the separation of powers between the federal government and the states, and the separation of powers, our system of checks and balances among the several branches of the federal government. In recent years, we have seen usurpation of legislative functions by the executive and the Supreme Court in the federal government. Also, we have seen the federal government, through congressional enactment of laws, usurp the functions and powers of the several states. Now, in my opinion, most of our problems, economic and otherwise, are tied directly into this problem. As a matter of fact, my colleague on this program, my good friend Sid Herlong from Florida, who is a member of the Ways and Means Committee of the House, was instrumental earlier this spring in leading the fight to preserve some of the rights of the states when they were under assault in an administration bill providing for an extension of the Unemployment Compensation Act. I think perhaps it might be well to let Sid explain to you just what the issue was in that fight.
We'll certainly be happy to ask Mr. Herlong that question now. It seems rather far-fetched, to say the least, that states' rights could get involved in a question such as unemployment compensation, but how does it fit in?
Well, of course, as you know, unemployment compensation is a state-federal program, and it's administered according to the laws of the various states. This year, the administration proposed a program of extending unemployment compensation benefits, and they said that they could be extended in each state half again as long as the state was paying benefits at this time. But they said that each state would have to borrow this money from the federal government and would have to pay it back, whether the states wanted to. And we know that the unemployment situation is not the same in each of the 48 states, and we were going to have to borrow it and pay it back regardless. And of course, I didn't fall for that, neither did John Bell Williams over there. And we had to get something up to offset that. You know, we said that we put a state's right provision in there, just wrote a completely new bill and said that the states could borrow the money from the federal government if they wanted to, but if they did, they would have to pay it back. As a result, instead of all 48 states having borrowed money from the federal government, because this administration wanted to insist that they borrow the money from the government, only about 8 or 9 so far have borrowed.
But to get down to basics for a second, in the unemployment compensation program, it is sort of a matching fund.
That's right.
Set up,
that's
is
right.
it not? In other words, the federal government appropriates a certain amount of money. The states themselves put in a certain amount too.
No, the federal government doesn't appropriate any money for the original fund. It's paid by the unemployment compensation taxes of the employers and employees, of course.
In other words, actually, then, it should not be a subject to federal control at all.
Oh, of course it shouldn't be, and each state should have its own right to do it, and that's what we insisted on, and that's what we won out on. Thank goodness. I think virtually every one of our southern boys stayed with us on it, didn't they, John Bell?
As far as I know, all of them did, Sid.
Some 65 or 70.
You put up a remarkable fight in that. When you substituted a bill that was in keeping with our American system, leaving these matters up to the states as they should be. And as you know, you offered the substitute bill. The substitute was accepted in place of the administration bill, and now I believe, Sid, that the administration is sending people over to the Senate to tell them that that's their own bill.
Well, that was a funny thing. Immediately after we won the victory there, and incidentally, and during the course of the hearings on the bill, prior to the time that it was decided that the committee would not report out what we wanted, Secretary Mitchell was before our Ways and Means Committee, and he was asked if he would approve of this states' rights provision in the bill. Secretary Mitchell said by no means would they take that they couldn't buy that under any circumstances. So then when we put it in the bill anyhow, and it went over to the other body, to the Senate, Secretary Mitchell appeared before that body and said this was the administration's proposal and they were happy to endorse it. And it's a funny thing when, of course, several of the men on the Ways and Means Committee who were with me on the program of fighting for this states' rights measure, they, each one of them joined with me in a statement saying that it was not the administration's program, but we couldn't get the newspapers to print that.
In other words, there was sort of a hush-up campaign in support.
Well, they wanted to get credit for doing something. That's what which they hadn't done, which they had opposed, actually.
The Ways and Means Committee is perhaps best known throughout the country as being the group that's responsible for writing the federal tax laws. I know that you have had quite a number of thoughts concerning the federal tax structure, particularly as regards the federal income tax.
Yes, of course, we do have some. We have. All tax legislation must originate in our committee. And I have introduced a bill which is designed to completely revise income tax rates. It's my feeling that in the long run, the people will be better served and the government will be much better off if we cut out all the gimmicks and gadgets in our tax laws and make the base wider, tax everyone, but reduce the rates considerably. That everyone pay taxes. I mean, except for the usual exemptions, of course, the mm-hmm. family exemptions. But I mean, don't give exemptions for there's tax-free securities and things like mm-hmm. that people are just making killings off of who have a lot of money. Mm-hmm. But spread the base wider, and then in the long run, the federal government will get much more money, but they will not be charging anybody any 91% rates. And the lowest income rates won't be 20% of the men who can't afford to pay any taxes. It'll be a little lower than that, much lower, in fact.
Well, does it seem to you that this, as we now have it, confiscatory income tax set up, is part of the general assault on individual and states' rights, or what?
Well, I can say this, that Karl Marx and his Communist Manifesto listed as the number one thing in his program to destroy democracies was a steeply graduated income tax. And that's what that's the trap we've fallen into, because mm-hmm. we do have a steeply graduated income tax. It's my position that the federal government should never be more than 50-50 partnership in any business. They shouldn't be a 90-10 partner in a business. And when you have that, those confiscatory rates, you're destroying incentive, you're knocking people out of good jobs, people are just content to sit back on what they have rather than risk the chance of paying more money to Uncle Sam in taxes.
Of course, I think we'll all agree that there is a need for a vast amount of money in the federal government for national defense and such in these troubled times, but the federal debt ceiling seems to be headed up and up again.
I agree with you, but I don't say that a change in the tax rates would necessarily mean that the federal government would take in less money. I think mm-hmm. we've priced ourselves to the point of diminishing return tax-wise. And while you've done that, if you reduce the rates and increase incentive at the same time, you've gotten over the depression or recession, and you've gotten in a position now when we can make some progress.
Well, let me ask you this question. I know that everybody is interested in knowing what the prospects are. Does it look to you as though there will be any drastic tax revisions anytime real soon?
Not right away, because they're afraid to take the chance. And it's a funny thing. This country was built on chance and people working hard against obstacles. But today, it seems that any time we get in a little difficulty, we want to follow the path of least resistance. We don't want to take the chances. And I think it's time we got back to the old thing that made America great, and take a chance if it's necessary, but in the interest of growing. What do you think, John Bell?
I quite agree with you, and I would like to comment just a moment on this high level of federal taxes. I think a great deal of that can be attributed to the fact that the federal government has usurped many of the functions and prerogatives properly belonging to the states. They have done so by the simple expedient of offering handouts in the form of grants and aid to the states, if the states will yield just a bit of their sovereignty and
That's
responsibility
right.
to the federal government. Now, I think it's one of the facts of life that the states can carry out any given program cheaper, much cheaper, than it can be carried out at the federal level. And yet the federal government is constantly offering handouts to the states in various programs, entering into the field that properly belongs to the states by offering these grants and aid to the states, and the states in too many instances accept this as the easy road.
Well, in fact, isn't it very frequent that something is done by a state that might not necessarily be exactly what the state wanted to do, but they figure, well, it's federal money, let's go ahead and do it.
Oh, there are many instances of that kind.
How many sins are committed in that name of it? Money comes from the federal government, therefore we don't have to pay it back.
The thing we better realize is it all comes right out of our pockets.
May I say that there's not $1 that the federal government spends that you and I and other taxpayers don't contribute to the federal government.
Well, gentlemen, I certainly want to thank both of you for being with us today. Our time has gone by very rapidly once again. Our guests on this program have been Congressman Sid Herlong of Florida and John Bell Williams of Mississippi. We'll be back again next week at the same time with another in this series of special reports from Washington. Till next week, this is Dick Morphew saying thanks a lot for being with us. So long, everybody.
This forum has been presented by the Citizens Councils of America. We Americans are threatened with the loss of many of our hard-won freedoms, the historic right of each sovereign state to govern itself without interference from political courts, the right of the individual to choose his own associates without the prodding of federal bayonets, and the right of each citizen to make up his own mind in the American way, free from alien propaganda. The Citizens Councils believe that a nationwide program of education and information is the most effective way to meet these dangers. Each of us has a job to do. Join and support your local council. For information, write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. We will be happy to send you, without obligation, copies of our literature showing how you can help. Just write Citizens Council, Jackson, Mississippi. The South is organizing. Join with those who stand publicly, fearlessly, and determined that these freedoms will be maintained.